Fred Film Radio.
This is Fred Film Radio. I'm Samantha Sartori at the New York Asian Film Festival 2018. With a selection of over 50 movies, the festival brings to Film Society Olivicon Center and SVA Theater new movies from all over Asia. This year was selected Sekigahara from Japan, and today we are here with the director, Masato Harada, who will also receive the Asian Life Achievement Award. Good morning, Mr. Harada, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, good morning.
I would like to start asking you to tell everyone not familiar with Japanese history why the Battle of Sekigahara was so important for Japan and why you decided to make a movie about it.
Well, we're talking about the history of Japan. There are three revolutionary times in the history. One of them is Sekigahara, and the second is Sekigahara is the Battle of 1600. And then the next one was the 1868, which is Meiji Reformation. And then the third one is 1945, the end of World War II. Now, I happened to make a movie called The Emperor in August that was taking place about the imperial decision in 1945. So I covered one of those. And then talking about the 1868, I didn't direct any film regarding that era, but Last Samurai, I played a part of Omula, the bad guy who tried to kill Tom Cruise. That was sort of taking place around 1877, so it almost covers this Meiji Reformation. So it's naturally I wanted to make a film about this 1600 Battle of Sekigahara. But actually, this is an epic scale because the West and East all together, some 200,000 people fought. And just the battle continued only 6 hours on one day, and 30,000 people died. So the scale was huge. And without the certain development of technology, using all the computer graphics and everything, could have not made any kind of movie. So it's obviously a great subject for contemporary epic film. That's the studio agreed to finance my approach. And also the Sekigahara was based upon the book written by Mr. Shiba Ryotaro, which the novel itself was published in 1966, and ever since it's been sold 5 million copies. So there's a huge fans of Shiba Ryotaro-san's and also the Sekigahara. And so all the studios now were keen of making this film, and it happened that Toho finally came up with the budget, which is big for a Japanese standard, but it's a peanut for Hollywood standard. It's about $9 million.
Oh,
yeah. And so
For everyone that are going to watch the movie, they understand that it's not enough for a huge, epical movie as is the one that you deliver.
Yeah.
Because it's like a visually astonishing, and is obviously a movie that in U.S. would cost like maybe 100 times more.
Yes, that's right. But in Japan, everybody works for cheap labor. And also, we have certain flexibility in filmmaking. But still, the novel itself is a sort of Tolstoy's, Lev Tolstoy's War and Peace. It's a huge volume and so many speaking parts. And so I had to reduce it to just one-tenth of the novel and just concentrate on the confrontation between Lord Ishida Mitsunari, who is the leading character, and versus the Lord Tokugawa Ieyasu.
The story is very complex, and how did you decide what to include and what to leave out in the writing process? You wrote the script of the movie.
Yes. Well, you know, it's a really complicated story, even for Japanese. The youngsters particularly, they don't study histories anymore. So I needed to concentrate on the confrontation between Lord Ishida and Lord Tokugawa, And Tokugawa is the model for the Yoshitora Naga of Shogun. So it's at least that Yoshitora Naga's part could have been understood by foreigners because of the best-selling novel of Shogun. Now, Lord Ishida was less a known character in the overseas, but his character, Ishida's character itself, is totally un-Japanese, unlike contemporary Japanese, because Ishida was somebody who was able to think everything in rational way. So it was the battle between rational Ishida and irrational Tokugawa. Now, Ishida is also, just talking about American history, he is a part Alexander Hamilton, like the right-hand guy for George Washington. And then he was also a part Michael Corleone of The Godfather. And so I tried to, you know, the entire structure of the film I kind of copied from the Godfather. And like in The Godfather, the first 20 minutes is that beautiful wedding episode in which all those important characters were introduced. So my film, the first 20 minutes up until the Sanjo Riverbank's execution sequence, it's just I treated it like the wedding sequence and introduced all those important characters. Afterwards, it's a story between, you know, it's more or less a confrontation, not only the confrontation between the Ishida and the Tokugawa, but also it's afterwards it becomes the Ishida's love story with the Hatsume, the female ninja character. And it's sort of something like the love story between Michael and Kay in The Godfather.
This is really interesting. One of the most interesting parts of this visually astonishing movie are the characters you decided to portray, who are not only high-class citizens, but self-made, strong characters. Was this the approach in the book the movie is based on?
In the book, you meet 100 more characters.
I can imagine, yes.
Yeah. And in the movie version, I just took a freedom of putting some emphasis on female characters, unlike in the book. So the Hatsume was not active like that in the book. And I also wanted her to participate in the Battle of Sekigahara, where she wants to meet her love, Ishida. And also there are bits and pieces of those female characters, for example, Ishida's right-hand guy, Shima Sakon, who was a well-known sort of warrior general. Everybody loved him in Japan. But lesser-known fact was that his wife was actually there at the Battle of Sekigahara as the sort of doctor. And she organized a front-line hospital. And that's something I came up with, not from the book, but from the other sources, just researched a lot. So those characters, and also there's a misunderstanding about the betrayal of Lord Kobayakawa, whose decision made Lord Tokugawa a great deal. So I said about the confrontation between Ishida and Tokugawa, but the third character who was very important is about this young Lord Kobayaka, because he was manipulated by Tokugawa and sided with him. But in fact, this guy, Lord Tokugawa Lord Kobayaka, he was the only teenage, he was 19 years old when the battle happened, and he was the only teenager warlord during the entire battle. And so I wanted to emphasize on this character and focus on this character about why he acted this way and being called as a traitor for the next 300 years. But in reality, he was a very brave young man, and I wanted to come up with the sort of to justify his character and his part in the history.
I would like to ask you about the translation. I do not understand Japanese, but the subtitles are often poetic and very direct. I guess you decided for literal translation. Can you talk about this decision?
Well, talking about the English subtitles, I discussed a lot with this with the translator. He's a New Yorker, actually, James Yagashi. And we worked together. We had worked together on a couple of other films, and he said, "Yeah, to simplify something and not too complicated and using too many, for example, individual names." So, in the subtitles, for example, someone called Kika Hiroie, and you can't memorize this kind of name, and so we referred him as Silver Fox. And also the aged ninja called Akamimi was called Red Ear. And then so something like that. We changed some names and lesser important characters. So we didn't even include that by the didn't refer them by the name on the subtitles. So we tried to incorporate everything which is good for the foreign audiences.
Thank you. Another aspect of the movie is the richness of details in which you capture the ritual of Japan culture, such as the political dealings and the story of the cup of tea. How you decide to add these little details in your movies?
Those details are coming from the novels. The Shiba Ryotaro-san, he was really good at researching all those historical facts and anecdotes and everything. So I used whatever useful for the movie from the book.
I have a last question. It looks like the battle was lost by the person who really cared about Japan and the people. In which way do you think Japan would have developed if the battle finished with Michiane Ishida winning?
Yes, that's a very interesting question. And like I said before, it was a battle between justice and injustice, and also a battle between rational person and the irrational person. And this irrational person won. And the Japanese character's ambiguity and sort of complicated things is coming from this Lord Tokugawa character. And for example, if Ishida won the battle, I think Japanese people would have thought about more sort of logical way, not emotional, not irrational way. And Ishida was also, like I showed in the movie, came up with his own logo, which is a one for all and all for one. So it's a sort of same type of logo of rugby. And probably rugby started in Japan if Ishida won. And lots of, you know, what if kind of situation is coming out from if Ishida won. And totally Japanese character, national characters would have been different. I think the Japanese, way of thinking and the history could have been totally changed, and probably it became closer to how Great Britain moved from 17th century to 18th century, in probably a similar way. And then there's a lot of interesting possibilities of who we are and total would have been different if Ishida won.
What's next for the movie? Do you have any release date here on in Europe? And what's next for you? I think you have another battle to cover, right?
That's right. Now, I want to cover all these three revolutionary period by myself, not including Last Samurai. I mean, I just participated in that as an actor. So next year, I'm going to make a film set in 1868. It's a story about this band of assassins called Shinsengumi. And from the real true history, but this Shinsengumi is a well. Eventually, they became sort of assassins in Kyoto, But it's more like a story of Martin Scorsese's Goodfellas. And it's sort of a bunch of hoodlums came up as a teenager. They formed a gang together in Edo near Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And they moved to the West and in Kyoto and it became sort of independent group of samurai swordsmen. And so that's I'm going to shoot next year. Actually, it's in the process of casting right now. And the main cast is already set. And then the Okada Junichi, who played Ishida in Sekigahara, is going to play the lead, Hijikata Toshizo. And then before that, I've already finished a film called sort of film noir, a crime movie called Killing for the Prosecution, which will open in Japan toward the end of August. And I hope it's going to go to the Overseas Film Festival.
Thank you so much to Masato Arada for being with us today. Congratulations for the Asian Lifetime Achievement Award from New York Asian Film Festival 2018. I'm Samantha Sartori, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.